guess that means we're going to get started. We'll go ahead and introduce ourselves. My name is TJ Myhill. I'm an attorney here in Atlanta, Georgia. I've been on the last however here. Good? Yes? No? I've been on the last several revenge porn panels, and there's been a little bit of a different state of the law every time, and there's a little different state of the law this time, so we'll be happy to cover that, but that's who I am and what I do.
Hello. My name's Rebecca Hiles. I'm a sex educator and dating coach stationed up in Philly. I do a lot of work both professionally working with people who are victims of revenge porn, who have, you know, are just trying to like get themselves back to normal. But also I do cam work, and I do porn as like my moonlighting job. And so I have like I feel like I have an interesting perspective on the porn industry and how it interacts with revenge porn as a whole.
My name's Hayden Barnes. I'm an attorney here in Georgia, specializing in complex civil litigation. I'm also staff counsel to the Georgia State Senate Judiciary Committee. I'm a member of the First Amendment Lawyers Association, an EFF cooperating attorney, and volunteer lawyer with Georgia Lawyers for the Arts. My particular interests are privacy, security, open source, do a lot on Mac and iOS. I've represented anarchist collectives, NSA employees, fantasy romance novelists, Native American tribes, and adult actors and actresses.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess let's just kick it off with saying where we are now. Right. When we first had this revenge porn panel, Sarah Downing and I sat up here and told you guys that there is shit for laws out there. Nothing existed. If you had taken your own picture and it was a selfie, you had a copyright remedy, and maybe there was a right of privacy in your state that was pretty decent, and maybe there wasn't. And that was pretty much it. Now, you know, in the last several years, states have passed laws. Some are better than others. Some are too broad, some are too narrow, and really there's hasn't yet been a happy medium that makes everybody satisfied with the law. And as we sit here today, there is a bill being passed through the federal process to see whether or not we're going to have a federal revenge porn bill. But that bill, too, is getting challenged from both sides as being both too broad and too narrow. So who knows what we're going to end up with, if it's going to pass. It didn't pass last time. So that's the state of the law. We've gotten a lot more law. This is something that lawmakers are taking very, very seriously. Since we sat here and said zero states have a revenge porn law, 34 states plus D.C. plus the feds have either passed or are trying to pass a revenge porn law. But, you know, they're all varying degrees of effectiveness. So the current lay of the land is there's a lot of law out there, and who knows if any of it works.
So Georgia does have a revenge porn law. It mirrors some model language in other states. It specifically prohibits dissemination of sexually explicit material that has the intention of emotionally harming or the exact language. It narrows harassment. Problem is what happens when it's not harassment? What happens when someone just takes it and puts it on one of these sharing sites? What we'll see is a lot of these bills throughout all these states, including the federal proposed bill, there's still a lot to be figured out, the various contours and nuances of these statutes.
One thing that's really struggling or making lawmakers struggle is that exact issue of intent, right? Is there intent? Is there a revenge intent? Is there a harassment intent? Is there a malicious intent? And intent is something we usually put in criminal laws. But at the end of the day, what happens if there's not intent, right? If I rob you, I probably had the intent to rob you, right? I've proven that by taking your wallet and running away. But if I put your naked picture up online, did I intend to harass you? Did I intend to get revenge in some way? Or did I just think, cool, boobs, and put it up online? because that's not necessarily intent under some of these state statutes. It was pointed out that we have not yet told you what revenge porn is. So we should probably start there. Who wants to take a crack at revenge porn?
Well, 34 state legislatures have tried.
That's exactly right. All right. Well, here's the problem, right? If you actually go out and read any of the literature on revenge porn, nobody actually likes that phrase. It's the one we all use because it's what we think of, right? We think of the idea of you send a picture to your significant other, and then you break up, and then they get pissed off, and then they show that picture to your family and coworkers. And that's revenge porn, right? But what about the people who just hack your iPhone and get your pictures and throw them up online because, hey, boobs? What about the people who, you know, take pictures of people who aren't their significant others and don't have any revenge intent? So there's lots of phrases being kicked around like non-consensual pornography. I'm drawing a blank on the other one, but it's similar to that. It's non-consensual or I don't know, but some other type of pornography. But it's not your choice to put your photograph up. Your photograph, your image, your video, whatever, is up online without your consent and sometimes without your knowledge. And that's what we're dealing with. States are trying to find a way to criminalize or create remedies for people who just go online one day and suddenly find out that the things they thought were private are now very, very public. And how do we handle that is exactly what...
Well, I imagine it doesn't help in a lot of ways when it comes to coming forward and sort of talking about you know, your face, your naked body on these sites.
Oh.
Seriously?
Yeah, I know. I'm sitting on it.
Can you hear me now? I'm like really close up. I suppose that it doesn't really help socially when we don't have this title for exactly what type of porn it is, and we identify it as revenge porn, because I feel like regardless of whether or not it's the intent to get revenge, it is the intent to discredit someone as an individual, specifically because, if I'm not mistaken, I think a lot of revenge porn typically like affects women,
yeah.
Like overwhelmingly so.
Yeah.
And so in a lot of ways, then you have a lot of these same issues, because what happened when the selfies of the celebrities got leaked?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why were they taking naked photos? Why were they having a sex life? God forbid that they were having a sex life. They are celebrities and should never have sex ever, but we're going to market them as sexual objects. So that's a totally different thing. But we have this sort of attitude where people come forward and they talk about their issues and their problems, and then they're dismissed or they're shamed or, you know, whatever. And those people who are dismissed and shamed aren't likely to push the issue further and just sort of like hope for the best. And they don't always have the ability to afford a lawyer either. You can take that into another layer of the like wage gap and so forth and all sorts of social justice like webs of issues, but it sort of creates like a cycle that it can always just keep happening because there's not enough people coming forward to talk about it and to change it.
Well, I think there was a $500,000 judgment in a case out of Texas a few weeks ago, and if those keep happening, I think lawyers will start taking a lot more of those cases.
Right. Well,
certainly hope so.
Okay, that's nice. Okay. I would like to ask all my panelists to please pull your microphone right up to your lips, because apparently we can't get it. No, I know, I understand, but we keep moving away from them is the problem. So everybody get on your mic. All right. So here's the follow-up on that, though. One of the real problems that I see with the law that's out there is that we don't really have a civil remedy for a lot of these state laws. Pretty much every state law, who's including Georgia, who's passed a revenge porn or non-consensual or inconsented, you know, pornography law, who's made it illegal to share naked photos of other people, have done it to be a criminal act, a misdemeanor or a felony. And that's great for people who can't afford lawyers, because I can just call the police department and say, hey, this is happening, and this is I told you, every single year.
And that's if you can get law enforcement.
But that's right. That goes. But the two problems with that are, one, it's just a misdemeanor, and it's not really a big deal to anybody except that person whose picture is up there. So when you call up the police department and say, hey, I really want you to go arrest my ex-boyfriend who's throwing pictures of me up everywhere, yeah, we'll get around to it. We've got, you know, murderers and kidnappers and bank robbers to deal with, and it just never happens. The misdemeanor problem doesn't really arise. But there's no civil remedy in a lot of these states, which means you can't come to me and hire me and have me sue the guy for damages or not for damages. We have to look to restraining orders and injunctions and other things like that that don't give me a way to get an attorney's fee out of a judgment that's awarded. So we get a lot of cases. We got a call from a girl yesterday who, you know, has an ex who's putting things online that she doesn't really want anyone to see. But what's her remedy? You know, she can come in, she can hire me, we can write letters, we can get restraining orders, we can call the police, we can do these things, but we can send letters to Instagram, we can send letters to Facebook. There's a lot of things we can do, but there's still not really any kind of great solution.
So,
but she obviously did not consent to that. But are you saying that the difference is that my girlfriend willingly sends me something, I break up with her, and that's the element?
Not necessarily. Did you want to cut that?
I would say that she very clearly had a cause of action and got, you know, an award for it.
Right. I think she got negligence. Against the hotel,
right?
I think it was a hotel employee.
The guy had nothing. The guy, no, he wasn't.
Okay.
He was a fan. They gave him the room number when he checked in. He said that he knew her, and they said I need to be near her. He got it and he did it, but nevertheless, he did sue the hotel, but he had a remedy for it. I'm just curious.
Well. No, that's a big difference. That's it. That's it. You get a judgment against the hotel for negligence, not against the guy for the act. Also, there's always other things that go into this. Again, when we first sat here 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when we had our first revenge porn panel, and there were no state laws on this, we were looking to what laws, what privacy and rights of publicity laws each state had. Georgia, for example, has very good rights of publicity laws because we have Martin Luther King. Tennessee has some of the best in the country because Elvis. You know, California and New York have lots of celebrities, so they have pretty good laws. But Wisconsin, you know, not so much. So it depends on your own state and where you are and what the rights of privacy or right of publicity might give you for a cause of action as well. So negligence against the hotel, stalking against the individual, rights of privacy, rights of publicity, all of those things might give rise to claims. But again, even in the states with the best rights of publicity claims, there's a very big difference between Aaron Andrews and, you know, the girl who called me. So it's not a...
I'm wondering if that element is what makes this very, very hard. Because, you know, if I take a picture of somebody unbeknownst to them in their home, you know, they may be walking around like Aaron Andrews was, that's one thing. But if that picture was sent...
So there's several aspects that are hard about this. Defining what revenge porn is in the law, having it prosecuted or finding a lawyer to sue, dealing with the emotional issues of having that done to you. You know, people have been sharing intimate things between each other for years, I mean, a long time. So it's not so much the voluntary aspect, it's the going out and doing something with it is the privacy violation. And doing something with it that causes emotional embarrassment or harassment is where the criminal laws have been targeted. That's the crux.
And that, you know, the big issue now, and why this has become such an issue, is of course the ability to make it so very public, right? I'm a Gen Xer. If I wanted to send somebody a naked picture of me, it was on a Polaroid, and I would hand it to them, and they would look at it, and if they wanted to share it with their friend, they had to hand them the Polaroid, and it couldn't be shown to hundreds of thousands of people, you know, with a click. So the privacy issue, the problem that comes out of what you're saying, the problem of that fact that I'm the one who took that Polaroid and handed it to someone to begin with, and then they handed it to someone else, shouldn't I have foreseen that? That's part of the issue with drafting these laws. And it certainly goes to the shaming issue that Rebecca talked about a second ago. I mean, oh, well, you shouldn't have taken these naked pictures. Why are you even taking naked pictures? Why should you ever have those to begin with? Why are you sharing them? That's part of what makes this a complicated issue for lawmakers to address. But it really boils down to the privacy issue and how far I think that picture is going to go. It's one thing for me to give it to you. It's another thing for you to give it to your friend. And then it's another thing entirely for you to give it to your friend and, by the way, every other person in the United States. So that's the issue that we're now trying to address.
And one of the things that I would question in a lot of this is that when I go to work, my night job, right, and I turn on my camera or I, you know, take that video and mail it out to that random stranger on the internet, I sign paperwork to be on those sites. I sign paperwork to have to, like, explicitly say that yes, I would like my naked body to be on the internet. No, I'm not lying. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm of sound mind and body. I would just like my naked body on the internet, and that's cool. So I'm wondering, you know, if there's no, you can post these things on these sites, but there's no sort of moderation for them, and there's no sort of, and I know I have a friend of mine who, it was very much the same. She sent naked pictures to her boyfriend. They'd been together for like 5 years. They were going to get married, and she was like, nah, I'm not feeling this, and she broke up with him. And then a week later, she's getting calls from her mom, who's like hearing from like her pastor at her church and like her siblings about how all her naked photos are on this website and on the internet, and here's the links to it.
Why is her pastor on that site?
And there's all of these different things where, and luckily her dad was a lawyer, so that shit was gone real fast. But at the same time, it was definitely that moment where it's like, you should have there should be something to like approve that these are your photos, to say that these are your photos, to say that you have the ability to be posting these photos and in some way to be able to track it back to you. I don't know if anybody's familiar with a site called FetLife. I heard a giggle. FetLife is a fetish site that sort of, it's like the Facebook for kinky people, sort of. But on there, when you put a photo up, you have to certify that you're allowed to use that photo. And if it's not, they will come and yell at you and they will take that photo down. If they find out that that's not a photo you're allowed to have up there, they will kick you off the site.
Yeah, it's a Napster problem. You know, people are realizing that digital means easy, mm-hmm. unlimited.
I think I'm too young for Napster.
Okay.
BitTorrent. Wow, and I was BitTorrent. Back to Polaroid.
It's a BitTorrent.
Okay, problem. Polaroid was this camera that popped open, and you shook it.
There's no additional costs to making hundreds of thousands of copies. That's the problem we run into. I think we have questions.
Yeah, I was wondering,
talking to the box.
Oh, is there any way to approach this as an issue of image rights? Is there some way to capitalize on what we've got in the entertainment industry in general so that individual people can somehow file their own image rights, and just like with a DVD, okay, it's fine for you to watch in the home, but you can't show it to people that might have the ability to profit from it. Most of these sites have ads. Is there any way to approach it as an image rights and distribution issue?
Well, you have a copyright in those photos, mm-hmm. and you can sue for damages under those copyrights. You can sue for more if you put little C on it.
But from the standpoint, I'm sorry. Well, from the standpoint of, because there are all these confounding issues, like you said, of sort of judgment and social shame, can you make it more like a just a business proposition that everyone can somehow file their own image rights for themselves, and then there's a way to actually have a more mechanized ability to pursue things if there's a barrier in terms of people not wanting to report, pursue litigation, pursue punishment on a criminal end, but it, then it becomes just more of a financial fine. I don't know how that would work, but would it be an avenue to pursue or not?
Well, that's where you get into the rights of publicity we were talking about a second ago. That's what those are, is the right to publicize your own image. The right to privacy is the flip side of that. It's the right to be private in your own image. And those are creatures entirely of state law. And so every state has their own law on that, too. And again, some states are very, very good, and some states are not. And one quick point on copyright. Copyright is a great remedy if you're the one that took the picture. Yeah. If you took a selfie and you sent it to somebody, well, then you do have copyright rights on that image, and you can certainly take take remedies under the Copyright Act to either both get that picture taken down or sue for damages. The problem is, and this is something that Sarah and I were talking about years ago, is that's something that only applies to the images you take, because if I take a picture of you, then I own the copyright. And not only then do you not have a remedy for injunction or damages, but you can't even tell me to take it down because I'm the one who has the copyright rights to share that or distribute that as I see fit. And that's where we have to see whether that's in conflict with your rights of privacy, rights of publicity, or some other right that prohibits me from sharing the image because you're in it. And again, we fall into whether or not those are effective in each state.
In a lot of ways, too, I wonder about the efficacy of having like these sorts of things in place. A lot of the people, if not the majority of the people on the not the receiving end of the damaging end of revenge porn, they're in their 20s. They're late teens, early 20s. We've got 16 and 17 year olds who still don't understand the concept that they can't share naked photos with each other because that's child pornography. I'm not sure that like a 20-something, it's certainly not a 20-something who then finds out that their naked photos are online. I have seen this because I don't know that there's the same kind of emotional processing that's going to like kick into their brains to say, okay, what are my legal options here? As opposed to, well, shit, I'm trying to be a teacher, I guess I have to change my major because I will never be able to get a job like this. And I have watched it happen that teachers have had like revenge porn come out and have lost their jobs. Like, no question.
That was my question. What happens when you can prove you lost your profession or your job because the porn was posted against your will?
In my case, the woman in question, she had a decent lawyer who went around and pulled it all down off the sites, but they couldn't do anything about the ex-boyfriend. They couldn't even get a restraining order because it's in Virginia. And in Virginia, there needs to be like an actual threat against you, and just being like, oh, I'm going to post your naked photos online, unless it's, I'm going to post your naked photos online because I want you to be in pain, and also I'm going to come to your house and throttle you in your sleep. There's nothing that can be done. They can just sort of say, well, if it happens again, just let us know. And that's pretty much all you got.
Right. And that's, I mean, this is pretty much it, right? I mean, because what are the remedies? And this, it goes straight to the Napster issue that Hayden brought up, right? Once it's out there and it's everywhere. And I can get it taken down off this site, but it's going to pop up over here. And I'm going to take it down off that site, but it's going to pop over here. And it's a big game of whack-a-mole. And regardless of how effective we are at taking it all down, you know, what happens to your job? Well, maybe there's some state law, or maybe there's some, hopefully, some lawsuit that will allow us to go sue for the damages of your lost job or your lost, you know, income on that if you got fired. But, you know, it's going to be a situation where I think we're just going to have to, as a society, learn to accept the fact that our teachers and you know, other people may have things online that we don't necessarily want to have. I mean, it just, the truth is, we all did something stupid in our 20s. It's just when I was in my 20s, it didn't show up on the internet. So when I went to go past the state bar, nobody said, show me all the stupid shit you did when you were 20. Now, you know, I can Google my name and find all the stupid shit I do all the time. So it's just lucky that I own my own firm now. So I don't have to worry about it. But it's one of those things that I think it's sort of a twofold scenario of having to find a remedy for the problem legally, but it's also just going to have to be something where society, this has become such an issue, society is going to have to accept that there's a lot of stuff out there about everybody, and maybe we just ought to accept it.
Right, but think of the children. The children, I say. That's a big one that comes up a lot, I think, when talking about this issue, is the like concept, because it always ends up overlapping with the what happens if I lose my job, or what happens if I have revenge porn up on the internet, somebody put these photos up of me, and I can't do anything, and now I'm worried that I'm going to lose my job because of it. And in a lot of ways, there is that entire conversation about, like, well, what about the children? Like, what... It ties in a lot, and it's a lot of work that I do, because I firmly believe that everything turns into sex at some point. Everything is about sex, except sex. Sex is about power. But that is where it comes down to, is, okay, well, now we're thinking of the children. We now have to teach children that their adult human beings in their lives might actually have sex and make bad decisions and, you know, be fallible. And so I think that's something that needs to sort of be worked around, like, outside of the legal system. I think that socially it's a lot of change that needs to happen in order to make this sort of thing a, oh, wow, you posted negative photos on me, as common as, like, oh, you vague booked about me, whatever. And that's a social change that needs to happen, but it needs to happen in a very, I don't know, different kind of way, because it is sexually charged.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's right. I mean, unfortunately, there's really what we're talking about is the legal remedy to revenge porn, but your legal remedy to anything, honestly. I mean, whatever you hire me to do in business or civil litigation, your remedy doesn't really fix the problem. Your remedy is, well, that's too bad. Have some money. And maybe that makes it better, and maybe it doesn't, but at the end of the day, it doesn't make you a teacher again. It doesn't stop your partner from destroying your business and running off to the Bahamas. It doesn't stop your, you know, there's no real legal fix to pretty much any legal problem. So, you know, all we're trying to do is figure out a way to keep it from being an uncontrolled problem. But there's always going to be stuff that happens to people who are the victims of any crime, you know, or any legal wrongdoing that we can't fix with the law.
So I was going to ask, well, first, Rebecca, I think Sigmund Freud would agree with you. Everything is about sex. So
this is just a cigar.
Yeah. But then, and you already answered this, I was also going to ask you, so don't all porn star, you know, actors and actresses have to sign consent forms, and then, or at least you said you do, at least. So then I was going to ask for the attorneys, how many of these state laws focus around consent forms, and can't one of the solutions be, well, all porn has to have a consent form attached to it for every person that appears in that picture or video, and then all of the porn is illegal because it's non-consensual.
And then you go to jail when you sext your wife or girlfriend or boyfriend or husband.
I mean, but there's a few more, because I think what you're asking is not so much a sexting your partner, but more of a posting it on the internet, yes. Right? There are a number of sites that are sort of under the honor system, like Tumblr is one that's under the honor system, and regularly you'll find that porn on Tumblr has been sourced unethically. If you're thinking of ethically sourced porn, just think about, like, ethically sourced, like, salmon or something.
Like,
but just instead of salmon,
porn,
just see, like, little dildos in the water. Because that's what I like to think about it when I think ethically sourced porn. But it has that sort of feel to it of, like, to get it, you know, with approval and with permission, and you're allowed to share these things. And there are a lot of sites out there that'll allow you to share, like, their shorter clips. There are some sites, like Pornhub and, like, some of the other ones where you don't sign anything, but you do have to, like, check a box that says you're allowed to share this. Similarly, it's like going on to, like, I don't know, the Captain Morgan website and saying, yes, I am over 21, thank you. So it's something in that sort of family. But short of that, I mean, for me, in terms of, like, what I would think would be great would be to have something that's basically just a button that says, yes, I am, like, able to share this, And that way, if it gets tracked back that it's not okay, that something was wrong, they can trace it to that email and just like handle it very quickly. And because I've seen that on some sites, and there's some sites that have that. And if the site that I use when I'm camming is called extralunchmoney.com. Clever, right? but in that, I can contact them easily. They have a contact easily. Like, I can just email them and say, look, everything associated with my account needs to be wiped immediately. And they'll do it, everything. And that's not just everything. That is every link that I have up on the site. And then, like, they'll send emails out to the people who have purchased things from me saying, this seller is no longer available, which is a really, really nice thing that they do to kind of, like, give like a quick and easy buffer of, hey, you can't do this anymore. Leave it alone.
So that goes back to the societal changes, not so much legal changes. Those are social mores we can adapt and push. But any law that would require that would be held unconstitutional.
Mm, without doubt.
Does the law change society? Does society change the law? Chicken or egg? Chicken or egg?
They're pretty strict about First Amendment law.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't even gotten into First Amendment law yet.
We'd have to get into the details, but probably.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be unnecessarily restrictive on speech. But it also, I mean, the truth is that if you say, oh, we have to have consent to post it online, let's address that for a second. Certainly no one has ever clicked that Captain Morgan button under 21, right? I mean, that's they would never do that. So that's a perfect solution. So no one will ever click this button improperly either. But when you get into the idea of the harm that comes from non-consensual pornography is not necessarily that it's online, although that's a major issue that we are addressing, but what happens if I take it and I send a mass text out to my girlfriend's family, coworkers, job, boss, pastor, who have you, and you know, I didn't put it online, so I don't have to give consent to post it because I didn't post it. I just took it and texted it to 400 people. So you either have to make the law that prohibits that, in which case I have to sign a consent form before I sext my wife, or you don't have that be a part of the consent, and then there's no protection. So that's what makes these laws so tricky.
With regards to the civil remedies, I mean, it seems like that's kind of insufficient because I would imagine that a lot of these, the people who engage in this are pretty much judgment-proof anyway, and there's no revenge porn insurance money to go after. Any of these proposed state statutes or any of the ones that are in effect, do they hold the service providers liable in any way?
No, the service providers are protected under Section 230, okay. Which is the a safe harbor for content like YouTube and that kind of thing. Takedown requests. Now, if they do it on the job, you know, for their employer, then they're not judgment-proof, which is what we saw in the ESPN case.
Right. The other thing that comes from that, too, is that the brain fart. I just completely lost my train of thought. I absolutely just shut down. I don't even remember what we're talking about. Okay. Move on. It'll come to me.
Ready for the... Hello. I have some questions. It's mostly geared towards Ms. Rebecca. First off, well, maybe the lawyers can chime in too. Now, I'm aware, you know, you work in the porn industry, and that's totally your choice. You have a right to that. However, I also agree that, you know, just because you work in adult film doesn't mean you should have photos taken of you without your consent. You
damn
know,
straight.
That's exactly. Now, my question, though, is sort of because you work in this industry, do you think that if, let's say, now you do your cam show, and that's your consent, but let's say you were, the same thing happened with ESPN and you were changing in a hotel room and someone was taking your photos against your will and putting them all over the internet, like, do you think that, and maybe the lawyers can chime in, would she have less rights because she works in the sex industry? Like, I could see it being an issue, let's say you were a stripper, you know, and most time you can't take photos in strip clubs, so would suddenly a dancer, would they have less rights or would they be, do you think in a court of law they'd be taken less seriously?
I think from like a social perspective, they would be taken less seriously. For me, like, it's a very different instance for me specifically because I'm like, it's already on the internet. If you're taking photos of me that are naked, like, I probably didn't want to sell them anyways because you probably got a real shit angle.
Right. I think there's something that, you know, inherent.
Right. And I would have the ability to, like, go after that. I have a really wonderful, wonderful lawyer who just doesn't bat an eye. Nothing I ask.
You could actually show damages easier than the other people because you make a living.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And that would affect my business model. But, I mean, beyond that, the only issue is that when I go forward with any sort of consent violation, whether it's something that it comes to from, like, photos shared without my consent, all the way to somebody grab my ass without permission, my sex work is immediately, like, brought to the forefront. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, are you sure you weren't asking for it? Like, are you sure? Are you sure that that wasn't something you were actually interested in? Because, like, you know, you have a lot of sex with a lot of people, and, like, maybe they just thought that you were really interested in them. And, like, I just, it gets me very frustrated because on my end, I'm sitting there, I'm like, no, just because I am, like, I am bare ass naked in a swing club, and if you touch my ass, I'm going to deck you. I am going to hit you. And like that, but in a lot of ways, there are a lot of avenues when I come forward with those sorts of things, whether it's photos that are shared online all the time, you know, specifically things that I have shared specifically with partners who have then shared it with other people without letting me know. I've had, like, issues with that, and they'd be like, oh, well, you know, you have it on FetLife, like, why do you care? And it's like, because I, like, I don't know Karen.
Well, it doesn't change the legal. It doesn't change the legal aspect. I mean, it's still if it's a crime, it's a crime. If it's a civil violation, it's a civil violation. It's going to be the same. But she's absolutely right. Whoever's on the other side is going to absolutely grill that issue because that's the social question, right? It's not a question of whether or not there's you don't lose your rights by engaging in any certain, you know, type of work or activity, but you do fall victim, just as, you know, people do all the time in cases where people are, you know, where you're trying to convince the judge or the jury that you're just, you know, it's not really a big deal because of the social issues. And it's the rape question of, you know, well, what was she wearing? What was the matter? But it comes up because that's where it boils down. So that's the, again, the social versus the legal.
Haven't we even, like, when you were talking, I'm thinking about rape, right? Just because she's scantily dressed.
Hang on one second.
There's somebody in the back.
Hang on. We've got a cue. Sorry.
Okay, so in our day of age, or he said, she said, one, if somebody does accuse you of this, what type of defense do you have? And also, on the other side of that, how do you prove that someone actually was the person who did put it up?
Well, that's a good question, right? Because that again goes back to the question of clicking the button and saying I have authority and saying I have, but I use a fake email address or I use somebody else's information. Mm-hmm. That gets tricky. If you're the person who put it up, you know, and you use your own personal email or IP address or Reddit handle or whatever it is that you loaded it up under, obviously it's you. Or at least that's how we're going to start. If you're the only person who had a copy of this picture and it's up, well, either you put it up or you gave it to somebody who put it up, so we're going to start with you. So that's how it boils down. And as far as defenses, I mean, if you can say, I guess, I put it online because my, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, husband told me to, you know, then it's a he said, she said. But if it's, I mean, if it goes up online, you have to have, if you put something online, then you definitely put something online. And if that's the criminal act in and of itself, as it is in a lot of these states, then you've already violated the law. So there really isn't a defense to, well, she said it was okay because you put it up. That act violates the law, and that's one of the reasons that people are challenging these kinds of laws and the constitutionality is because, is that really a crime? If I say it's perfectly okay for you to stick this picture of me online, and you do, does that make it a criminal act? That's the issue. That's how these things get so complicated.
If you were using like a backup Carbonite or some, or you know, Apple,
Nah, it's over there. I'm sorry. But like, if you're using a carbonite or something like that, sorry.
It's okay.
Right. If you're using carbonite or some sort of backup, and then it gets hacked, what are the implications of that against you?
So all the criminal laws, like I said, require that intent. And in Georgia, it requires the intent to embarrass or harass. So going back to your previous question, one of the possible defenses to the revenge porn criminal statute would be that you did not intend to post it, which is hard to say if you uploaded it to Imgur, or that you didn't intend the emotional aspect of it. And there's other defenses if, you know, you were sued under privacy torts and copyright law. I forgot where I was going with that. Anyway,
what was the carbonite?
No, I don't think so. But encrypt your backups anyway.
Right. I mean, if somebody steals it from you, then it's no different than stealing it from the person. I mean, if I steal a picture of you naked, or I steal a picture of you naked from Rebecca, I've still stolen the picture of you naked. I mean, ultimately, it's going to come to the person who's sharing the photo is the responsible party.
And please don't send me naked photos.
And if you have, you know, if you have state laws that have the intent requirement, then obviously that's something you need to look through. If you have the state laws that criminalize just the activity, that's the ones that are being generally looked at as overly broad. So, but in terms of it always comes down to the person who does the actual sharing. If your account is hacked, then it's just, you know, then it's just the hacked celebrity account question all over again. Except probably a lot less people will download your picture than Jennifer Lawrence's.
There's a question.
Going back to the intent that keeps coming up, we discussed third-party sites who aren't held responsible because, you know, they ask, are you over 21, or some other arbitrary checkbox. What about the sites that have the intent of embarrassing those who are uploaded? For example, when the iCloud hack happened, Reddit had a subreddit that was basically dedicated to embarrassing those who were hacked. And now Reddit stepped in and deleted that subreddit and banned it. But what about other sites that don't have that? Can they be held liable on a criminal or a civil front?
So the good news is that most of the dedicated revenge porn websites have been sued out of existence. Mm-hmm. It turns out normal law-abiding people don't just wake up and decide to open a revenge porn website. Most of them end up getting thrown in federal prison on mail fraud, extortion, that kind of thing. In terms of, you know, the ISPs and websites like Reddit and YouTube have somewhat blanket immunity as long as they respond to those reports when they're made in a prompt manner. Do you have anything
to add to that? No, that's it. I mean, the ISP, most of the ISPs are going to have immunity. Most of your actual sites, you know, I think the question was, are they going to be liable under these intent laws? And the answer to that is probably no. But it's kind of like getting Al Capone on tax evasion, right? I mean, you don't get the Hunter Moores of the world on revenge porn posting necessarily. You get it on extortion or hacking or other crimes that they engage in because they're just generally sleazy people. But certainly, are there sites up there that could host images that aren't supposed to be there that aren't then liable for any intent? Yeah, I mean yes. But then you fall back to the next level of who put them up there and what's the intent there, and that's why this intent issue is a big stumbling block on a lot of these revenge porn crimes, because the criminal acts, how do you get over that intent requirement without putting a whole lot of stuff that ought to be revenge porn or non-consensual pornography outside the law? But how do you make it general enough without any kind of intent? I don't know.
Just quickly, you said that a lot of these previous revenge porn sites got sued out of existence. I'm assuming that was before they started creating these causes of action. What cause of action did they use?
Most of them got caught extortion. Extorting, I mean, you could pay $5,000.
Right.
And a lot of them, some of them were just up to other, had other criminal enterprises that brought them down. There's one back here, and then we'll get to you.
Okay. Would a business have some protections against something like this if they could label it? I don't know what, but the reason I say a business is because I've been working on thinking of myself as a business and doing a lot of stuff there. So could someone after the fact do something to make themselves into a business and give themselves some kind of legal power over the situation so they can then make the sites that have it up pull it down?
I don't think that a company or corporation would have any more rights to get an image taken down than the individual would. In fact, if we're looking at state laws for privacy and publicity outside the revenge porn, you'd have to have the individual make that claim, or at least some agent of the individual make that claim on their behalf. So I don't think that would be any material change. I mean, a company is just a person legally, and then it's just some other person who's saying that you're naked pictures of it. So it's easier to just make that claim on your own.
Would it work better? I mean, this is just something I'm thinking of. Would it work better if we sort of extended right to publicity to people who aren't famous? Sort of said, like, well, if there's a naked picture out there and you don't want people to see it anymore, you can just revoke that right and it has to be taken down. Like, so you can't really, instead of going after the person that posted it, just sort of just saying that it's your photo because it's of you. And like, if you didn't sign a consent form releasing it to the person who took the photo, then it still belongs to you, no matter who took it.
So you do have the right of publicity, even as an individual, not a famous person. You can, so that is an option. I think you're kind of talking about the EU's right to forget law, which allows you to affirmatively remove things from the internet. And if you look into some of the discussions around that, that presents its whole other set of problems. For example, if this is a photo of you in a public place, say at a hearing or a you know, lobbying or something, it's allowed to be up there. It's protected by the First Amendment. So, you know, it's possible, but we'd have to balance the First Amendment with that.
So along that line, what is, if a website has a naked picture made, just ignoring criminal of whoever posted it or whatever, just forgetting that, what is the legal tool that you would use to get them to take it down?
What I would do is immediately report to the website that that's up there without your permission. The problem is, you know, whether that has any effect, because we come down to the question of, does your state have a revenge porn law? Does that apply? Does your state have a right of privacy law that applies? Is it your picture? Do you own the copyright?
Right.
So the remedy is to tell the website to take it down. Most websites will do that because that's how they protect their safe harbor, right? I mean, the truth is, if there's a claim of an IP violation, they're going to go ahead and take that down because that's how they stay under the DMCA safe harbor. So that's your first remedy. But as I said earlier, that can be whack-a-mole. But the best answer is familiarize yourself with the laws of your state. Look at what your state has for revenge porn laws or you know, sharing naked picture laws, but also look at what your rights of privacy or publicity are, or contact a lawyer. But it really does start with find out where they are, tell that website to take them down, see if that works.
So what's the difference if I had a bad hair day and I don't want that picture up?
If it's copyright infringement, file that DMCA notice.
Right. If it's your picture, that's exactly
but
right.
It's not.
Well, if it's not your copyright and it's just a bad hair day, you probably aren't going to get taken down. But if it's not your copyright and you've got a website who doesn't care too much about your right of privacy or publicity, then you're probably not going to get the naked picture taken down either. You're going to have to take some other steps. So the difference is that when you're naked, you know, it's something that most people take a different view on, and you know, a lot of websites, unless they're focused directly on, you know, putting up pictures of naked people, are going to take those down. I mean, even your you know, Reddit's, Imgur's, things like that, they're going to come down because it's just not worth dealing with the hassle.
So when we're talking about the consequences of revenge porn or non-consensual imaging posting, or however we're terming it, really, there's kind of the two issues we keep coming back to. One is the issue of, I'm going to say colloquially, social standing, public embarrassment. The other is the more tangible risk of financial consequences, losing your job, being fired, etc. What is the avenue for pursuing legality or sanctioning such that these cannot be grounds for dismissal? It cannot be part of your performance appraisal. It cannot be the reason you can be dismissed, especially for the two types of positions that we tend to hear about the most. I'm going to say healthcare workers, nurses, physicians, et cetera, and school teachers, in that most hospitals, public health organizations, school systems are funded by public monies and so don't have some of the same luxuries for hiring and firing employees that private companies do. How can you go, would it be an option to look at making it such that these things cannot be grounds for dismissal because they're not part of the performance appraisal for the position?
I would argue that either that consensually made adult materials that then get redistributed are protected speech and are protected if you're a public employee. Now, whether or not that holds is something the lawyers have to fight out. But what she does on her CAM is protected free speech. And as long as it doesn't cause a material disruption, if she, say, was a social worker, she could not be punished for that.
What?
Oh, she's a social worker. Now, whether in real life, you know, this is all theoretical. In real life, that doesn't always happen. But maybe some big cases, some strategic cases need to be brought. Did you want to?
I mean, in a lot of ways, for me, the thing is, for me, in this conversation, I don't, as a person who could be on the end of revenge porn, it doesn't affect me in much the same way that other people would be affected. I'm finishing up my social work bachelor's, but my focus is going to be on working with the poly kinky communities and also with sex work and HIV positive communities, all these different groups that if I had a naked photo out there, it wouldn't be the end of my career, right? But there are, in a lot of ways, there are other people that are affected much, much stronger. And and to that end, it's a fear, I think, in a lot of ways, that you just sort of have to when I put naked photos on the internet and I worry that it's going to affect my life somehow, it is the same sort of fear as why I keep pepper spray on my keychain when I go out for a run at night. It's that same sort of this thing is always looming over my shoulder, even if it's not necessarily a huge risk for me.
And just to go to the legal core of the question, I mean, as far as, again, the societal change that ought to come to get us to that point mentally is something that we can't legislate, but hopefully we'll get to. But in terms of the idea of drafting some legislation that says that I can't fire an employee under certain circumstances, that's going to be even harder to write than these revenge porn acts are going to be, because the ability to hire and fire employees, is something that to be so narrowly tailored to be able to be protect people from things that shouldn't cost them their jobs, but allow me to still hire and fire employees for whatever reason applies to my job. That would be a nightmare of drafting.
I do think we need some good cases to shore up public employee rights on this issue.
Yeah.
But I think we have a question.
My question is about threats. So I help run a company for a group of girls who stream video games, and several of them who have had threats to be hacked for photos and other things. Nothing has come to fruition, thank God, but my question is how serious is that threat taken, that, oh, I'm going to hack you and ruin your reputation? is that even a threat that's taken seriously at this point?
In Georgia, which is the only state I have any experience to say in, in Georgia, if I don't share your picture, I haven't violated the picture sharing criminal act. If I don't actually hack you, I haven't violated the Computer Crimes Act. And the threat of hacking, the threat of activity, I don't think is going to arise to any type of again, we're looking at what the police will do, you know, and not what the there's really not a civil remedy. What the police would do to protect that, probably not. Now, there are injunctions, there are restraining orders, and if you can show that this threat is, you know, serious enough or phrased seriously enough or with someone who has the capacity to follow through on it, you could probably get a restraining order or an injunction against that person, but it's not, they're not going to go to jail for that necessarily. You just get a claim that they can't. You and have any other experience than I do?
And that assumes you know who they are,
right,
and you can get jurisdiction on them. Yeah, it's tough just with the threats. You know, the thing is if they do follow through on it, it might show conspiracy, you know, so they could get in worse trouble. But it's tough just by itself. You know, it's very important to have good personal IT policies, two-factor authentication, encrypt everything, you know, in your day-to-day life. There's lots of steps you can take to protect yourself that aren't too invasive, but I recommend everyone take them.
Yeah. Hey. So I just kind of want to play devil's advocate. Disclaimer, I am a good guy, but exactly what are the most effective ways that people are getting away with it? And how can we, what are they doing? What kind of tactics are they implementing? So that way we know the big pain points on how to defend against those kinds of incidents.
Well, how they're getting away with it is we can't pass a law that seems to work. So we can't stop the activity because every state's got some law that's got some giant loophole in it, it seems. Or they've decided not to enforce them because they're so unconstitutionally broad, or we're getting challenges, rightly so, right? We haven't even discussed the First Amendment issues here or the newsworthiness or any of those other things that come along that are a real, real stumbling block on these laws. So the truth is that people are getting away with it fairly easily because it's hard to stop and it's hard to criminalize and it's hard to have a law that actually works. You know, even the states that have revenge porn laws and are actively enforcing them, which is not as many as we started with 34, but they don't have remedies for all situations. So how do you protect yourself? I mean, how do you keep your stuff safe? I guess the abstinence answer is don't send naked pictures of yourself to anybody. But
I want to throw water on you.
I'm not saying that's the right answer. I'm just saying that's the abstinence only answer. But that's the true answer. How do you keep your naked pictures from getting out there? Don't take naked pictures. But what do you do? What do you do to protect yourself? Here's the advice we gave you 4 years ago when we first did this, and there were no laws. Take your pictures yourself. Only share selfies because then you own the copyright. Don't put your face in it. That's it. That's the best advice I've got for you. Only share pictures that you took and that don't identify you. And when I say don't put your face in it, also don't wear your name badge or, you know, have your home address. Don't be in front of your mailbox when you do it. Just keep identifying features to a minimum. But
I now expect everyone to tweet me a photo of them naked wearing nothing but their badge because that's all I'm going to see all weekend now. Thank you for that. It's day one for me. I'm really... I do.
All right, I think we're wrapping it up here.
Yeah. I think we're getting flagged down. So you don't get to hear about the First Amendment issues, but trust me, there's a lot
Google
of them
it.
In there. They're great. But
Google
yeah,
it.
Go read it.